American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back.
Welcome back to the top of the second hour of National Intel Report live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio and Patriot Nation Radio Network. I am your host, Peter Serafine. With me tonight, we got Brent Amachek with so many websites, I'm not going to list them. And Tamara Lee, who is a longtime friend of Brent Amachek, filling in for Dave Sumrall.
Yeah, and Tamara and I have our own show together. Called Trend on Politics, that can be found on Your News. I think we post a new one every Wednesday. We're on a couple of weeks break while Tamara's on vacation and while I'm in mourning that Tamara's on vacation.
But, wait, Tamara's on vacation and she still chose to fill in for Dave here on my show?
Well, yeah, it's such a privilege to be on your show. It's all I talk about when I talk to her. So right. I'm sure that was an easy decision for her to make.
It was, yes.
I'm not wearing my boots, David, and it's getting really deep in here.
If David asks, I usually answer with a yes. And then our own show, I just had some, my daughter got married, so I had some family. And now I'm with my grandkids, so little family hiatus there. But usually a new episode posted on yournews.com and on Rumble. So,
well, I will be taking some vacation of my own here next month. Oh, hey Mike, producer. I'm not going to be around the second week in November. I'm flying to Minnesota.
Little housekeeping business.
Yeah, little housekeeping on air. That's always good, right? Yeah. I'm flying to Minnesota to watch my eldest son get married.
Congratulations.
I can't believe I'm not a grandfather yet. And in the chat, yeah. Thanks, Mike. Okay, so you mentioned the trailer for 1,000 Days of Terror. I went and downloaded it. I have it ready to go. It's about 5 minutes long.
It goes fast. It really does. It's very compelling.
All right. 5 minutes of video. Here we go.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
January 6, 2021. The media propaganda machine fed us a story that shapes the narrative of insurrection. They intentionally left out some key details. There's an entire timeline that you haven't seen, and it tells a different story.
They're going into the Capitol, I think.
Look, there's cops up there. It looks like they got sniper rifles.
Everybody stop here!
Where did Trump say to meet him? Down front? Who were the agitators? What was the timing? How did the chaos begin?
Unit 6, I need less people seeing. They could come up from the upper west stairs and take an elevated position. Right now we have group stopped at the lower west stairs. They're not compliant, climbing scaffolding. Let me know when the left and legal teams are in place.
We want to petition our government for a redress of grievances.
Did the officers not hear this? You were told there was fighting, but where?
Shoot me! Fuck you! Fuck you! Traitor! Put that gun down!
Unit 6, I got a crowd fighting with officers, pushing, throwing projectiles. I have given warnings about chemical munitions. I need the less than lethal team positioned above me to identify the agitators and start deploying. Launch! Launch! Launch!
Were there any warnings to evacuate, much less safe exit routes? Dig deeper.
This is the C2S.
Do you see it? Let's slow down a little. Notice the smoke from the sniper's barrel? What do you think that means? This is where Joshua Black is shot in the face. He never saw it coming. First blood, but wouldn't be the last. Is this where the agitation began? The police line is now reinforced. Chris Quaglin approaches the police line screaming about the shooting of an innocent protester in the face when an agitator tactically pushes him from behind into the already anxious police. The agitator, Landon Copeland, admitted to being a member of Antifa just after being sentenced for his involvement. The police reacted with violence, further infuriating what was a peaceful crowd.
They've been throwing flashbangs. Look at that shit.
Stay on the play!
The anger spreads among the crowd from the unprovoked attack by federal agents. None of this had to happen. As aggressive police forces continued to provoke the crowd, peaceful became chaos. This attack by police ignited the past 1,000 days of terror, which ends now.
They're trying to save this guy's life right now.
All right, so that's a trailer for a
Yeah, I should have given the warning that Ava told me to before you watch the film, the Thousand Days of Terror trailer, big warning label on the film that there's violence, brutality, death, and reality. So,
yeah. And sorry, Mike, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it beforehand to bleep out the F-bombs.
Yeah. It's pretty raw footage. And it just breaks up. So for your audience who may not know, like the one scene with the baton, you could see it in the corner. Gary McBride was the first to, and I interviewed him right after he broke that story, the first to identify Lila Morris as the officer who was beating Roseanne Boylan over her body with that stick that either caused or contributed to her death. And Roseanne was the one who was on the floor. They were trying to resuscitate her. And going back to our lies that were told, is they came out and said, Roseanne Boylan, they looked into her history and saw she was a recovery person. And they said she died of a drug overdose, which is so disgusting and gross that they would take someone who worked really hard.
Absolutely right. I mean, they came out right away and said Roseanne Boylan died of a drug overdose. And anybody who's seen the video, she's clearly beaten either to death or nearly to death, and then allowed to die.
It just, I know these
drug overdose I've ever seen.
It's hard not to get emotional. I know I've interviewed Mickey Wilfoot. She's a friend. for her to lose Ashley the way she did. And yet these deaths have gone unanswered and unaccountable for. And the general public really has no idea. There were J6ers where the SWAT team showed up and said, "You killed one of ours," referencing Brian Sitnik, because the lie they told initially was that he was hit over the head by a MAGA person with a fire extinguisher. Completely.
Many lies.
Flat out lie. So, you know, we're countering these lies that have stuck in the public's mind, just like Brent said, and it's very difficult. So a film like this that is shocking is the only way we're going to kind of get people to see this is really what happened. And yes, our government has been lying to us. And yes, this is what we thought happened in other countries, but it's here. So we're trying to get to the, because shortly after J6 at the Super Bowl that year, 2021, Lila Morris was one of the Capitol or DC police officers honored at the Super Bowl, made a hero. And we're trying to find out how that happened, who set that up, who arranged that, who happened to know that Lila Morris was the one who was beating Roseanne Boylan over and decided the way to do damage control was to get her propped up as a hero. We don't have that information yet, but we're trying to get to it.
There's many lies that they told us, and then they keep telling them. The people in the Capitol Hill still call it an insurrection. They still say that, or at least imply that the rioters at the insurrection are the ones who caused death, when everybody who died that day died at the hands of police. And you watch that video and you can see the flashbang grenades being shot into the middle of a crowd, which is completely against how a flashbang is supposed to work. A flashbang is designed to disperse crowd. You use them to move people in a particular direction. So in this instance, you would want to disperse them between you and the crowd to get the crowd to move back. Instead, they're shooting them into the crowd, which is going to make the crowd expand.
Well, and there was nowhere for the crowd to go. If you're, you know, it comes in the middle of that, there's no path out. You're caught in the middle of it. So, you know, those things are really important for the public to understand. And we're trying to get to that tipping point of where those of us who have been working on things in the beginning and trying to get the truth out there, where we find that tipping point, where the general public should be enraged, because we would agree that if it was someone who we disagreed with, but they had every right to redress our government peacefully and patriotically, protest and come and state their First Amendment right, we would support that. We don't support the violence, but we support your right to the First Amendment. And so we've got to get where we are no longer divided on this issue, but where other people will see, well, gosh, if I speak out at my school board, now I'm on the FBI target list. That's not just conspiracy theory. That is, in fact, happening in America today.
All right. Well, we got three comments over in the YouTube chat room worth mentioning. We got, wow, I've never seen that. What a POS, our government, and aggressive law enforcement is disgusting. Definitely watching this film. I got goosebumps seeing that, and I will definitely promote this video. Every American should see this. I agree. I hope this video does kind of like, Sound of Freedom. I hope it does kind of like Sound of Freedom, where they want to squash it, but they just can't because it takes off and people demand to see it.
Well, this is a Mike Holman show. Go over to StopHate.com. We have not just our Stop Hate videos up there, documentaries, but Bloody Hill, Writing History, The 1,000 Days of Terror, the J6 timeline that'll be coming out in November, but also other people's work. I know Laura Logan just released her J6 exposés, very powerful interviews with Matthew Perna's aunt. Matthew Perna was the J6 victim who hung himself because the DOJ was doubling down on his sentencing and adding enhancement of terrorist charge, and he just couldn't get in. He was a really decent, good guy. It's heartbreaking that he felt there was no way out other than to hang himself. Because the stress that this puts these J6 family members, the whole family, is people look at you like you're a horrible person. So you're alienated in your community. You're most of these were just law abiding people, good, decent human folk. And they went there because they believed that the election had questionable results. The government, Congress, to say, okay, let's stop. Let's investigate these discrepancies. Let's make sure we're really where we are. But the whole thing, if you look deeper, like David said in the movie, dig deeper, you find out why all these things were set up to play out the way that they did, is all because of the election fraud that occurred prior to it. So they had it's like the lie that snowballs. If you start with one lie, then you have to keep adding lies to it, because otherwise you're backed in a corner on that original lie. So there's a lot of really great content out there that exposes much of the truth. So please, please do go look those things up. Condemned USA is another good source for information. So,
all right. Well, this is a live call-in show, and we haven't taken any calls tonight, which is odd. 512-248-8252 is the call-in line. If you prefer to text because you don't want to be on air, that's 646-974-4487 or 64 my rights. We're going to take this as the last chance to enter to win a book. We're going to draw for the last collection of books here in just a couple of minutes. So go to liberty-lighthouse.com, click the blue win a book link right at the top of the page, and we'll have Tamara pick a number here in just a minute. And there's our first call. Sarah in Oregon on line one. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi, everybody. This is me, Sarah. But I've been questioning everything. It's been like voting doesn't work, but the only thing that can happen is violence. But we don't want to end up like Joe Biggs or Enrique Tarrio. And here's the one more thing. Please share out any show you like and help us out. Be kind. Share it out. Bye!
Thanks, Sarah. You know, you hear that a lot. Voting doesn't work. I kind of think that over the last couple of years, we've had examples that it does. We've had, let's see here, the speaker race last time around, where five people in the House held up the election of the Speaker of the House. And now, this time, a handful of people, you know, one person stood up and was it eight, voted to remove him.
Right. Well, of course, voting matters. And the people that make the argument of why bother to vote because the elections are rigged. I mean, I want to be kind, but it's difficult. So let me just at best say, well, then give up, stop paying attention, don't worry about it, because if you're going to suggest that that's the case, then we're done, right? Because there is no recourse from that. That's surrender. So I suppose we could just switch and have a monarchy, and then we wouldn't have to worry about this whole voting thing. So the trick is to try to fix it, not to abandon it. Of course, the great fear is that after what's happened in 2020, I'm totally unpopular with this everywhere I go, because do I believe there was election interference? Absolutely. Do I believe that the election outcome was likely possibly changed? I actually do. But my point is, you can't prove it. You literally can't prove it. We have tons of data points that suggest it's the case. The best we can do is create a hypothesis it was stolen, but we can't test it. So the only thing we can do is try to make sure that the things that happened in 2020 that led to the creation of the hypothesis that the election was stolen don't happen again. So there's a ton of reform work that needs to be done. People need to forget about the 2020 election. They need to quit complaining about it, whining about it, thinking we need to reverse it. It's not happening. It's over. But everything that happened that led us to the point that we're at now, that can be fixed. And that's where all of the effort, the greatest word in the English language, is next. So let's focus on next. Let's realize that if we walk away from elections, we walk away from any chance to have a free country. And let's realize that 2020 is in our rear view mirror, and we want to drive responsibly. So let's look forward.
No, I think one of the biggest things we could do to reform our elections is to get government out of primaries. Primary elections are how two private organizations choose who they're going to put on the vote in or on the ballot in November for us to vote for. Why is government involved in primary elections at all? If the Democrats want to let everybody and their brother vote in the Democrat primary, it's their problem. It's a private organization. If they want to let illegal immigrants vote in their primary, it's their organization. And if the Republicans want to say only registered Republicans with photo ID can vote in our primary, okay. It's a private organization. Primary elections are not real elections.
As I get ready to have to sign off here to go be a responsible grandparent, I apologize. I'll just leave a quick thought, and then I'll leave you in Tamara's very capable hands. First, the issue with that is that those primaries that happen that are, as you say, between political parties selecting nominees, of course, they funnel into then state and national elections and so on. Mm-hmm. None of these things are hard to fix. The folks down in Texas at Authentics have a counterfeit, near counterfeit proof ballot that if used across the country would wipe out about 80% of all voter fraud. Put that together with cleaning up voter rolls and the problem is solved. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to solve. And what people have to realize is that there is not yet a collective will to solve it. And that means the listeners to your show, not the politicians in office. There's more of us than them. And if we could stop just going about our daily business and watching Netflix and doing whatever other silly things we do and get more actively engaged in this thing, we could change this. But if we don't, we won't. And then we'll lose, not elections, but everything. And on that cheerful note, I thank you for having me back again. And Tamara's much more pleasant.
That's why I love having you as my co-host.
Tamara's much more pleasant and cheerful than I am. So thank you so much. And hope to see you next month if I'm still around and you'll still have me.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, Brent.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. We'll see you later. We're the half glass full and the half glass empty, and together we make a whole half glass.
He is a lot more optimistic than I am at times, but we are.
But don't say that word to him. That's like a swear word in his lexicon.
We are coming up to the realist break where I normally say goodbye to Dave as well. So I will leave it up to you if you want to stick around for the rest of the show, which would be another half hour, or you could say goodbye too.
Well, I will depart only because I also have grand boys waiting for me. We could call ours the geriatric show. Politics for old people or something like that. But I will, before I depart, thank you for having me in David's stead. It's an honor to be here. I always joke when he and Brent are back to back because it's like my two go-to guys, right, in all of this. And so it's nice to have officially joined the party. You can find, as Brent mentioned, our Trend on Politics show on yournews.com and on Rumble. Typically Wednesdays, we drop a new show. And then I have to, on David's behalf, tell your audience again, go to stophate.com/support. Anything you can do to help. I can personally testify that David Sumrall and the Stop Hate team have put in countless hours since January 6th at their own expense and just have been relentless. And we would not know the truth we know today if not for David's work and his being the driving force. So So anyway, you can follow me on Twitter, now X, at Tamara Lee LLC. That's TamaraLeeghllc. I'm back on there once we got all our accounts back. And then on Getter, Gab, and Truth Social, at Tamara Lee. So thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us tonight, Tamara. We are long into the break. Have a good night, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
All right. Bye-bye.
With that, break time, everybody.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
That's right. This is the National Intel Report on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Peter Serafine, your Thursday host. And I got some text messages that came through here. Could the J6 arrest be considered discrimination against Christians? Probably most of the participants were Christians, except for the FBI agents. That's a good question. I don't know that that would hold up in court, because they're going to say, well, it had nothing to do with religion. It had to do with the insurrection. But yeah, you know, the other side claims that everything is racist. So we could do that, I suppose. Better question. Doesn't the video show footage/proof that the doors were open from the inside? That's the funny thing about this. If you look at one point in that video, there's an overhead shot of the Capitol building. All of the violence occurred on one side of the building. On the other side of the building is where they're opening the doors and they're waving people in. So, Dave Sumrall and those people at StopHate.com, they've got some great video footage. I don't know how they got the permission to go out there and do it, but they went and saw, like, all of the security footage, and they've got a lot of good stuff, but nobody sees it. Like, none of the mainstream media is going to show it. They really, you know, McCarthy sent it out to Tucker, and Tucker picked and showed, you know, what he could. But it's thousands of hours worth of footage. Editing it down to something to fit on the news show is hard to do. And when you do, then they claim, well, you edited it out. What? That's what you did. You edited out all the peaceful stuff and only showed the violence. So now let's show some of the peaceful stuff. And then another text message, each of the two main political parties are corporations. And that is true. They are. They are non-profit corporations, which that is funny to say. Political parties as nonprofits. I think most of them are. If you look at the smaller ones, the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, they probably all operate as nonprofit organizations. But the D's and the R's, the elephants and the donkeys, they certainly do not operate as nonprofit organizations. All right. Live call-in show, last segment, 512-248-8252 is the phone number. If you want to join the text line, it's 646-974-4487. 64, my rights. So there was a lot of stuff there. I had not watched that trailer before putting it on air. Dave sent it to me, and I have to say, I didn't watch it, and then I downloaded it to put it on the show. Sorry about the cursing there, RBN Network and Mojo Networks. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't know where to go from here other than I forgot to put in my sponsor ad in the last segment. So go to Romika Designs for me. Romika, R-O-M-I-K-A, designs.com. And use code Lighthouse while you're there. Get yourself some cool laser engraved, laser cut, laser etched products. Awesome custom made laser stuff from the laser guy, RomikaDesigns.com. Use code Lighthouse. I'd appreciate that. I don't know. I still have books to give away. I forgot to have Tamara. We ran long in the last segment, so I forgot to have Tamara pick a number. But so I need somebody to call in, at least to pick a number. Pick a number as to who's going to win the books tonight. Let me look and see where we are on that list. How many do we have now? Technology. Now I'm getting up there. I've got a couple of more. So I think going back to the Representative Bowman pulling the fire alarm thing, I honestly think that if we lived in a fair world, that Representative Bowman would be charged with interfering with an official procedure, government procedure, just like those January 6th prisoners were. You're talking about the looking in from above the building where all the violence was on one side and not on the other. People that came in on that other side have been arrested and charged too. Thousands of people were arrested, or over 1,000 people at least. Interestingly enough, I tried to find that number of how many people have been arrested about January 6th, and that number is not readily available. So that's bad. You can look up, you know, how many people are arrested regarding the George Floyd riots, and you'll find the number pretty quick. It's like 14,000, 17,000, I forget. But you can find it pretty quick. You pull up for January 6th, then you're only going to find one source, and it's going to be a number that you know isn't right. It's like 1,400 or something like that. I know it was more than that. Maybe it's 1,400 that are still in jail. All right. Mr. Chris over in the YouTube chat room just picked a number. He said number 33. So let's see here. Number 33, Kinsey Richards. Congratulations, Kinsey Richards. Write that down before I forget. It's funny. I was just on a show with Kinsey. I was on Off Track Syndicate on Sunday, and Kinsey was one of the hosts there. And somebody picked Kinsey's number, and we were like, no, we can't give it to one of the hosts. And then Kinsey took a dice, like, you know, rolled the dice, and it came up his number again. So Kinsey missed out twice. And then Chris here just picked Kinsey's number for the third time. Kinsey wins the books. Finally, Kinsey, you better be buying a Powerball ticket, my friend. Give up that trucking world. So going back, Representative Bowman pulls the fire alarm. He was a middle school principal before joining Congress. He knows what a fire alarm looks like. He knows what a fire alarm does. Any BS about, oh, I thought it might open the door, is just that. It's BS. He knew it was a fire alarm. No question about it. The idiots over on the View tried to make it look like he pushed a button. No, it's a fire alarm. There is a lever that must be pulled. It is not just a push of a button. It's not how fire alarms work. So, middle school principal, who probably pulled several to do drills in school, pulls the fire alarm. Knows it's a fire alarm when he pulls it. So the only question is motive. Why would he do it? And the only thing that makes any sense is to delay the vote, because he and his entire party was trying to delay the vote. So, what is that? Actively trying to delay a vote is interfering with a government proceeding. The exact charge that many of the people from January 6th were charged with, and getting years in prison. Now, going further into this, you know, maybe he's just stupid. Maybe he, I don't know, he's new, whatever. No. He was rushing to get to the roll call vote number 531. 531. Which means he had been there for roll call votes 530 other times and didn't accidentally pull a fire alarm. Oh, wait. That's 530 times this session of Congress. He's on his second term. So how many times did he rush to get to a roll call vote the first time he was in Congress and did not accidentally pull a fire alarm? So clearly, this idiot pulled that fire alarm intentionally in the most surveilled building on the planet. Maybe he thought it wouldn't get caught on camera. But it was. The double standard here is glaring and obvious. Grandmothers have been charged with trying to halt in a government proceeding. But he's going to get off probably with nothing. The double standard. But when you have double standards, that means you have no standards. It's kind of like injustice. A two-tier justice system. That's not justice. That's injustice. That's the way the world works. And that's what we're living in right now. I don't know how to fix it other than doing like I said and trying to get literally hundreds of people that remember what our Constitution is supposed to be in Congress all at the same time. Hundreds of them. Anybody who's hanging their hat on President Trump or hanging their hat on any other one person is doing it wrong. That's not how life should work. You can't rely on one person for the safety and security and prosperity of your entire country. When you put everything into one person, well, that's when you elect a Hitler or a Mussolini That's when you prop up Stalin and Lenin. That's how you get these fascists and dictators and everything else. You can't put your faith in one person. That's why I try to put my faith in the Constitution. I honestly believe that what if followed, it's the ideal government. The problem is that politicians don't follow it and haven't for a long time. Like I said a little earlier, like I was just writing an opinion article where the Alien and Sedition Acts were 7 years after the First Amendment was ratified. So let's think about that. 7 years. We've got the 56 guys that come together to make the Constitution. 39 of them sign it. Some of them, Mason, won't sign it. So you get you've got Patrick Henry and George Mason who demand a Bill of Rights, even though Madison says you don't need one. The Constitution itself, it says what the government can do. They can do nothing else. Guys like Patrick Henry and George Mason, they don't trust government. We want a Bill of Rights. So Madison promises a Bill of Rights. Madison produces the Bill of Rights, just like he said he would. Start right there. This is a politician who made a promise for something that he didn't really support, didn't really believe in, not something he was doing for himself. Made a promise and then actually did it. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. That's odd to begin with in today's world. So Madison takes amendments proposed through the ratification committees across the country, and he boils them down to 15 amendments. And then he presents those 15 amendments to Congress, and Congress boils it down to 12. Those 12 get sent out to the states, and 10 of those 12 get ratified. The first one ratified, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the establishment of a religion. And 7 years later, the Alien and Sedition Act passed, punishing petitioning your government for a redress of grievances, punishing free speech, punishing a free press. Three of the five freedoms guaranteed by the very First Amendment to our Constitution violated only 7 years after that amendment was ratified. And likely, I mean, you think about it, 7 years. They all knew, they all remembered. The people in Congress in 1798 knew the struggle that they had to get the Constitution. They knew what they meant by the Constitution. They knew how hard Patrick Henry and Mason and patriots like that fought to have a Bill of Rights. And they passed these laws anyway. And Adams signed it. Adams, the second president of the United States, signed it, allowed it to become law. Fortunately, Jefferson comes along and pulled them back out immediately. But that was 7 years later. And Congress did that. Now, here we are 240 plus years later, and Congress does whatever they want. We don't have people that were there when these things were drafted and ratified. We don't have people today that can remember that. We don't have people in Congress today who heard the debates, who actually read the Federalist Papers when they were printed in newspapers. We don't have people in Congress today like that. But what would happen? I really want to know. I want to know somebody else's thoughts and opinions on this. What would happen if we were able to get enough constitutional originalists in our federal government to have complete control? Let's say we've got a veto-proof majority of constitutional originalists in both the House and the Senate, and a constitutionalist president. We've got all the levers of government under our control. All people who truly want to limit government back to the enumerated powers of the Constitution. What would that do to the United States? Short term and long term. I suspect that's going to be two different answers. I suspect that short term it's going to be something very, very bad. But long term it would be very good if we managed to be able to keep it. But that's my guesses. What's yours? Andy in Texas, line one. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call. No, you know, I mean, I give life a lot of thought. And so, I didn't ask to be on this planet. And I certainly didn't ask to be in this mess that we're in right now. And I didn't ask to have any of this happen to me. But I'm here, and I'm trying to navigate through all of this, let's call it BS, that's going on right now. Does it have to be like this? Do we have to? I mean, because we have a group of people who call themselves the authorities, and they're authorities to what? They're the authorities to rules and regulations that these people, you know, put together for us. But what is my role? My role? I mean, why do I have to fight my government for my freedom?
That's a good point. Like, we shouldn't have to. We should be able to just pay attention and tell them no every now and then, and that be sufficient. But it doesn't work like unfortunately.
I know, but the thing is that's how far society has gone down. I mean, think of all the stuff that we learned growing up, because there was a society here when we first grew up. There was schools, there was this, there was truancy. If you didn't go to school, you got in trouble. If you know, basically they said, you're going to be indoctrinated or we're going to bust you. You know,
right.
Nobody's able to free think anymore. And anybody who does free think now, we're freaks. We need to be terminated. We need to be incarcerated. They got to get rid of us. And herein lies my big concept with life is that why can't I just, here's my theory. Here's your freedom. Harm nobody or their property, and you can do whatever the hell you want.
That's a very libertarian
mindset. Don't harm anybody. Just don't harm anybody. Don't hurt their property. Don't hurt them. And then do what you want. And then they've got all these different laws that are up, you know, a DUI. You know what? It used to be back in the day where the cop would follow you home just to make sure they knew you were drunk, but they would make sure you made it home just to follow you. Now in today's world, boom. Hey, if we even suspect you're drunk, they're going to give you a sobriety test, and perhaps you have a balance problem. It doesn't matter. I smell alcohol. Yeah, you know, stuff like that.
I got pulled over once for a sobriety test. I got pulled over once for a sobriety test, and I refused to field the sobriety test. And the officer was like, why are you refusing the sobriety test? I said, because I've had five knee surgeries. I have no balance anymore. Anything you give me having to do with balance, I'm going to fail. Why should I give you that as ammunition that you use in court later? You give me a sobriety test that is about cognitive ability or hand-eye coordination, and I'll consider it. But you add balance to that mix, and no.
Well, the obedience of people, because we recognize what we call authority. Mm-hmm. And authority comes from all these different bureaucrats who are making these new laws and this and that and the other. And we see that as authority. But I see my life as my life. And why are you so much involved in my life? Why can you come to me and tell me I got a problem when it's not a problem for anybody else? Right. I got a problem, but it's not your problem. It's my problem. You know,
that's funny.
And they want to arrest you for it. Yeah.
What you've just described is the Trump lawsuit going on right now in New York City.
Exactly.
The city of New York, or the state of New York, I forget which, it doesn't really matter, has him in civil court right now saying that he broke all of these rules in civil court, not a criminal court, in a civil court. But there's no complainant. There's no injured party. The banks that he dealt with all got paid.
And made a profit.
Right. Everybody involved was happy with the deal.
There's no victim to any of his crimes that they're bringing up, which leads me to believe, and take this however you want, leads me to believe that this is all kind of fodder. They're just giving us something to watch why they do this. I don't think he's going to get in trouble whatsoever at all about this stuff. But the point is that they're giving us some sort of TV here because, I mean, okay, maybe our courts are that screwed up. Maybe they are going to try to throw him in prison. Maybe they are. I don't know for that fact. But the fact of the matter is, it's so silly. It's so silly what they're doing to this guy right now. It almost makes you feel like you're watching a comedy show.
My theory is they're throwing the book at him. Charges and made up charges, some of which are crimes, some of which are not. Civil court, criminal court, everything they can. Just because they know he would win the next election. So they're trying. They don't expect him to actually go to jail. They expect to tie up as much of his time as possible so he can't campaign. They expect to lose these cases. I'm sorry. They expect to win a case or two, but they do expect to lose them on appeal later. They want something. Yeah. They want to give him a black eye before the big election. They want to keep him busy so he can't campaign and give him a black eye before the election just because he's the front runner on the other side and polls are coming out saying that he would win.
So I dabble in a little bit of Alex Jones, and I think it was Monday or Tuesday that Alex Jones came out and said, you know, based on his, and he's supposedly got some really high up people and stuff, they said that nor Biden or Donald Trump will be our candidates in 2024. In fact, they might even just cancel the election at this point because we're in the process of sending our entire world pretty much into the World Health Organization and the WEF and stuff. So we're giving it up to NGOs. We're giving it up to non-government organizations to run our world and stuff because they're going for this new world order and stuff. So we may or may not have an election in November, or we may have an election, but it'll be two different candidates besides Biden and Donald Trump, which is just off the hook kind of crazy to us. You know, everything we're listening to on the news and stuff right now, just it seems surreal. It's like, what? This is not the way our country was. This is not the way it used to be. It's not the way it is, but it is.
It's not the way
and they're changing everything on us.
I would be perfectly okay if it is neither Biden nor Trump.
I would too.
I mean, they're both too old for one. You know, I would love to see Vivek Ramaswamy versus RFK Jr. Because at that point,
wouldn't
I'd be
that
like,
be fun?
That'd be great. Like, oh, one way I get my constitutionalist kind of guy, and the other way, well, I get an old school Democrat who still believes in law and the Constitution.
And sovereignty, yeah.
And sovereignty and freedom. All right, Andy.
Yeah, but I thank you for your time, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. It's almost time. It's almost, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, you'd think that after 4 years in the radio, I speak a little better than this from time to time. We're coming up to the last commercial. It's almost the end of the show. And, well, I don't know. I think I'm done giving away books for a little while. So thank you very much to everybody who entered. You can keep entering. Maybe I'll do it every now and then. But I don't have plans to do it every week like I've been doing. If you are listening live on Republic Broadcasting Network, please stay tuned for Edge of Darkness with Jeffrey Bennett. I want to thank Brent and Tamara, my guests this evening. Thank you, Mike, my producer, couldn't do the show without you. Thank you, listeners and callers. You're why we do this show. Until next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America. Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Your
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.